and a good morning, and we welcome you in. Week 8 college football. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. We say hi. Michael Lombardi out there, Ocean City to Atlantic City. He's at the Borgata. What's up, Michael? Good morning.
What are you stirring up today? I want to start the show by asking a simple question to our producer, Aaron. I see him in this Maryland shirt every week. Like, seriously, like, what is the Maryland school's color? As I like to know, because I can't, you know, I thought they were red and white. Then they go to the flag. Like, can somebody answer that for me today?
Wearing, like,
since it is the opening of the Big Ten.
You're right. He's wearing like a fuchsia color. What is the official color there, Mr. Oster? I don't think his mic's on. See, we already cut him. I like that.
Red. Hey, he said red, white, black, and gold. And I would say to him, like, that's a diner flag. Like, that's too many. You can't get anything good on that. Like, seriously. Like, how can you have school colors with all those colors? You can't. Like, can we simplify it?
You might as well wear Andy Reid's play sheet, because that is just too much as we look at
too many colors. Too many colors. I love how he wears it every week.
He just moved here. I don't know. Do you not have laundry in your crib?
I do. Look, I'm here basically every day. Come on.
Hey, by the way, Michael, just to start off the day, can you see us? Because I'd like to show you something as we get started here on a Lombardi line on a Saturday. We'll get to the college football, of course, a robust day with the Big Ten back. But here are some of my notes today. You can't really tell, but Stephanie came in and spilled coffee all over my notes. Yep. So my notes that were, there you go. You see that? They're all waterlogged. And now I can't read anything, and we blame it on Stephanie in the corner, who's newly married and she's got an attitude problem and came in and spilled coffee all over my notes. So if you'd like to admonish her to start, thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know, I mean, look, it's never going to be her fault. Trust me on that. I know how that works.
All right. So what's going on with you today, man? My man, how are you feeling?
I feel great. I'm excited for the Big Ten. I'm excited. I don't really know how anybody can handicap. I thought Wisconsin was impressive. We talked about how many veterans, how much senior leadership they had on the team, and it proved out to be correct. And Illinois, you know, obviously had a good season last year, kind of turned the tide, but they just haven't had enough recruiting base to sustain it. So I thought that was an interesting way to start the Big Ten. I'm excited for college football. I'm excited to look at some of these line movements in the NFL, see what's tracking. And, oh, by the way, Patrick, I don't know if you heard this, but last night the Bucs signed Antonio Brown after, and they did this even though ESPN, the worldwide leader, said it would never happen. So it's remarkable that it did. So it's really just we're imagining that he's on the Bucs, because it hasn't been confirmed that he is on the Bucs. Until we've confirmed it, it won't matter.
Oh, it's going to be official. And in March, when you and I were getting through COVID shows here on VSiN on the Lombardi line, remember in March we had a quote from Bruce Arians, and he said, absolutely not, when asked about signing Antonio Brown. He said, I know that guy. He doesn't fit in our system. He doesn't fit in our offense. Tom Brady went in and said, you stop talking. We are signing this guy, Bruce. You just call the plays.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And I think as us here at VSiN and putting it in perspective, we need to understand what this means for the Bucs offense, right? This is, if you're a fantasy owner, you know, Mike Evans is not going to get hurt by this. He's going to get helped by this, because Mike Evans isn't going to draw the double coverage. And I think now with Antonio Brown, you're looking at, instead of Scotty Turner as the slot receiver, I think you're looking at Antonio Brown playing in that slot. And all of a sudden, that's going to be real problematic for most teams. There's no one that you're going to be able to go in there, and they're going to try to double him inside, which is going to leave Mike Evans wide open on the outside and Godwin. I think this really makes them, Antonio Brown will be their nickel running back essentially in their offense, and this is how they'll operate. He will do all the Julian Edelman inside stuff. He'll be able to control the middle of the field with Gronk, you know, and with Cameron Brait and all the other tight ends they have on their team. This is a huge move for them. They were really, I thought they should have gone after Le'Veon Bell. This is a better solution for the Le'Veon Bell situation, because Ronald Jones still can play. He's a really effective runner. He just isn't a great receiver when they need him. Now they've got that home run hitter in the middle of the field.
Yep. Great job by Michael Lombardi. If you're just joining us on a Saturday morning, it is, of course, Antonio Brown to the Bucs. Now, here's the deal as far as the legalese. He cannot play. He's been suspended for 8 weeks, although he's not employed by a team. How does that work? Am I suspended for 8 weeks by the NFL? But anyway, he is going to be ready to go in week 9. Of course, down in Tampa Bay. So Antonio Brown to the Bucks. As we welcome you in, we say good morning to you. Marquee Sports Network in Chicago. The Big Ten is back. Nesson, of course, up in New England. We welcome you in. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. Aaron's here. Book's here. Steph's here spilling coffee all over the place. And Michael Lombardi there in Atlantic City. We say good morning to you. We're just talking about Antonio Brown to the Bucks. We've got crazy line movement all over the place in the NFL. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. The mayor's coming in. He is going to be in studio today. I know that makes you happy. Mike Palm, there's already swag all over the place. I see there's mouth guards for Mike Palm for mayor. I mean, it's just getting out of control here, Michael.
We need t-shirts. Yeah, we got to get our campaign manager on it to get some of these t-shirts.
Yes,
I mean,
Bill,
you know,
Berman.
I think this will be a huge, yeah, Bill, happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday,
it'll
Bill.
Be a huge seller. It'll be a huge seller. So we need to get on that. And I think, you know, we got the big opening this weekend, Patrick. So, I mean, on Tuesday, I'm sure, you know, you'll have your tuxedo on and
yes.
You'll be able to host there. But, you know, so it's a big week for the Palm campaign.
It certainly is, Michael Lombardi. You nailed it. By the way, did you see Clemson's laying 46.5 hosting Syracuse today? We're going to get to the Big Ten. I just wanted to start with that.
You know, I think that's a great question. I think, you know, when I saw that number, what's the first half number on that
game,
Patrick? Because I think that's a really interesting play there, because I would not want to go the whole 45, but I think I might be tempted to take something else.
Now, this is why we call you Prevalone and Sharp, because the first half bet is 30 as far as Clemson laying it. Now remember, they've been parking the bus in the second half. So you're looking at that number 46. There's 46.5 on the board with Clemson hosting Syracuse. But again, a 30 in the first half, which is a remarkable first half spread in the ACC. And then you generally want to fade Clemson in the second half because they parked the bus. But good question. They're laying 30 in the first half, Michael.
Yeah, you know, a guy used to be on the show when we first started the VEASAN, the Lombardi Line, back at a couple years ago. Johnny P. He would come in. He's the one who kind of he's all over Clemson today. Of course, he's a big over bettor. He loves the over, but he's all over that first half. And I think it makes a lot of sense. I think if you're going to play this game, I think you ultimately have to only play the first half, because the second half, who knows what's going on there.
It's gotten weird for Babers. Of course, DeVito wasn't the answer at quarterback. He's banged up. Orange are now 4-9 ATS their last 13. The over, by the way, 6-2 in the Orange's last 8 conference games. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll get to an official cap. What happened to Johnny P, by the way?
I don't know. He goes missing on me at times. I mean, he shows up and then he goes missing. I don't know if he's in West Cape May in the protection program. I don't know. Like, I can't find him sometimes, you know, and then he reappears. Then he shows up on my text and I'm like, you know, who's that? And then he's back and then he disappears again. So I think he sometimes has those runs where he gets things going good. And then sometimes it may not be good.
All right, let's dive into this. The Big Ten is back. First off, let's talk about, just take a step back macro as far as the Big Ten's concerned. And 8-game league schedule, no wiggle room, no buys built in. What does that mean for these college kids? What we know it means as far as COVID's concerned is they can't have any issues, because there is absolutely no room the way they started this year, Michael.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that it's going to be interesting to handicap some of these teams as well. How good will Rutgers be with the return of Greg Schiano back at the school? We saw that line. That line's been moving really rapidly towards Rutgers. And then Michigan State with Mel Tucker as the new coach there. You know, Penn State, obviously, they've gone through some change. Ricky Ron's no longer the coordinator at Penn State. He's down at Old Dominion as the head coach. What's that offense going to look like? They've lost some top players. You know, this is why points spread weekly, I think, is so important, especially the college book that we must really, you really need to get it. And I think this Big Ten, there's a lot of ways to make money in the Big Ten. Now, I'm not all for playing the week one games, but I am for really studying it. Like we saw with Wisconsin, you know, they had a veteran team. They played really well. They're going to be back again this year with Jim Leonard as the coordinator. I think there's a lot of, it's a little NFL-ish. You can really handicap these games because they're playing against one another. You can see who's bad and you can see who's good.
Well, there's a couple things there that I want to mention. You nailed it. As far as Wisconsin, we knew the front seven was going to be sick, a 45-7 easy cover over Illinois. Remember, Illinois and Lovie, that team beat Wisconsin last year. So a little revenge spot. But we didn't expect Graham Mertz, the redshirt freshman, the four-star kid out of Kansas. Remember, Jack Cohn, who was the incumbent, he hurt his foot, so he was down. So Mertz comes out, goes 20 of 21, 248, five touchdowns, and the 45-7 win. But the big story is going to be if Wisconsin's going to be legit, it's going to be Leonard on that side of the ball defensively and their front seven. You don't expect to see four and five star kids at quarterback. You do up front, both offensively and defensively for Wisconsin with the big dogs.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Wisconsin, look, they do a great job of recruiting. They know who they are. I think that's the most important thing, is Wisconsin really understands who they are. You know, they don't get caught up into the, we're going to play someone else's game. They're a little bit like Tennessee in the NFL, Patrick. Tennessee knows exactly who they are. And they play that way, and Arthur Smith calls the game. I think it's the same thing with Wisconsin. And sometimes when they're really talented like they are this year in the front seven on defense, they can play against anybody. Now, they get into some of these games against skilled players that they have a hard time taking advantage of. That becomes challenging for them. But one thing about this Wisconsin program with Paul Chris, with the Chris there, I really believe they know who they are.
100%, Michael. Let's start with Nebraska and Ohio State as far as the Big Ten. You've got seven games on the slate today with the Big Ten opening up. It feels right. You know, I mentioned the word robust earlier today, but, you know, 45 games, we were generally seeing about 30 on a college football Saturday so far with COVID. 45 games today, the Big Ten returning, kind of feels like we're in full swing now. Of course, we've got to wait just a week or so for the Pac-12 to come back. Oh, just quickly on what you mentioned as far as part two of the college football betting guide, that's available. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. It's part of the package. You got to get the package, but it's worth it. I was reading that this morning, getting primed, and Steve Mackinnon has some great information as far as the Big Ten. Now, this number, Nebraska and Ohio State, you know, it's an interesting year for Martinez and Frost there at Nebraska because they fell apart late in the season last year, and they're taking on a Ryan Day. This Ryan Day is going to be a stud at Ohio State, taking over, of course, that program. 23.5 the opener, all the way up to 26.5 with Ohio State laying it, Michael.
Yeah, and look, you know, I don't know where Nebraska's program is defensively. I think this is the biggest challenge we have, and I think that ultimately we know Ohio State. They always have great players. They always have great skill, and this is one of those where, you know, they've set the line. We've seen where the line is going, and I don't know what to say, whether it's one way or the other, because it's challenging. You just don't know. Nebraska, year three. You know, year three of the program there, of Scott Frost's program, you expect them to take a giant step forward, at least in year three. This is 3 years of recruiting, so the base should be really strong. And you got to believe that they can keep it closer than 27, but until you see it, I don't know how you play it.
Yeah, it's, you know, Adrian Martinez, his third year as a starter. Outside of Wandale Robinson, they really just unknowns as far as that. And defensively, I just don't know if they're going to be able to hang. We understand what's happening right now with the Buckeyes. And the big story is Justin Fields, who's going to be a top five pick. Again, Trey Sermon, the Oklahoma transfer at running back. Master Teague comes back from the Achilles injury. They just lose talent and just reload. Olave's there. Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver. The offensive line. Now, the questions are going to come on that defensive front, where three of last year's four starters were drafted. We know Chase Young, Okuda, the cornerback. So it's the same story with Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson every year. They're going to lose a ton of pieces, but they just keep reloading.
You know, it's like when you watch Clemson, everybody says, well, Clemson's defensive front, you know, they lost so many guys. They just reload defensive linemen. I mean, the one thing I think Ohio State gets, and they're always going to be able to get the top players, is they understand the importance of having great defensive linemen. So they always end up recruiting them. And so even when they have young guys that we don't know about, you know, I can remember watching Auburn one year and they had a freshman named Carl Lawson. And I'm like, where'd they get this kid from? You know, and then I got to go through and look up the Auburn directory. Oh, they got him from Florida, the highly, you know. Next thing you know, he's playing in the NFL. I mean, that's the kind of thing they have there at Ohio State. They're going to find guys. They have juniors and seniors all in their defensive front, guys that we don't know about that maybe can come in and make a difference to their team. Just because we don't know them yet, we will know them soon.
That's the point that you make that's so fascinating about this program. They've got juniors and seniors at Ohio State that we really haven't seen play. So think about that program, and they're just, the program depth is unbelievable. I think Fields and the Buckeyes are going to put up a ton of points at home. I expect Nebraska, though. That's an offensive unit that should be able to score enough points. Now, we've seen the total, Michael. 71.5 was the opener. It's come down to 68. We're not concerned about weather there in Columbus, so the totals come down just a bit.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Patrick, you got to get your weather hat on. Have you heard what's going on in Mile High? Have you heard in Denver? I mean, I had Thomas Gable in here. We're talking about the Denver-Kansas City line, not to jump away from the Big Ten, but weather is going to impact some of these games, and you're going to have your weather hat on. I'm glad the Doppler three-man's coming in with you today to discuss it as well, because that Denver-Kansas City game is getting bet in the direction that weather will impact it.
Listen, Smarty Pants, if you don't think I know what's going on with the weather there in Kansas City, let me tell you something. I bet the under 48 on Tuesday in that matchup. Of course, Kansas City and Denver in division. That total's dropped to like 44.5 because why? It's going to be snowing there. Of course I know the Doppler. It's going to be like 20 degrees and snowing there. That's actually a great point for tomorrow. I bet that under 48 on Tuesday got out in front of it because we've seen that number plummet. Okay, we'll get to the line movement as far as the NFL is concerned coming up in just a little bit here on the Lombardi line. I wanted to transition as I'm looking for the number here, Penn State, Indiana. Okay, interesting. The one team that feel, you know, there's a couple teams in the Big Ten, if we just take a step back. Michigan, of course, they have the quarterback that the whole entire fan base has wanted now, the kid from Florida. We understand that Penn State's loaded. Wisconsin showed improved last night, but Ohio State's on another level. Penn State's very intriguing coming back here. Penn State open 7.5. It's been bet down to 6, so money going Indiana's way.
I mean, look, Indiana, new offensive coordinator, last year's coordinator did a great job. He's now the head coach at Fresno State. So there's going to be some change in what they do offensively. But Penn State, I think the reason is, where is Penn State? Without Parsons, there's great linebacker. Are they going to be able to come back and play with the same level of defense? You know, they're going to start three juniors, basically two juniors and a sophomore as their linebackers. We'll see. But Penn State, another team that reloads. I think all this is on Sean Clifford. How well can Sean Clifford play? How well has he developed? New offensive coordinator, like I mentioned earlier, with Ricky Ron going to Old Dominion. How does he play? How does he fit in? And how do they fill the void of KJ Hamler going there? Is Parker Washington, this highly recruited freshman kid, going to come in and really make a difference? Jahan Dotson, the junior that they had last year. So I think there's a lot of moving pieces here at Penn State, and it's going to be interesting to see it all come together. I don't know how Indiana is going to hold themselves up. I don't know how this is going to be able to typically, but last year Indiana's team was really good. They played hard. They were well coached offensively. I thought they did a great job defensively, and you know, they played as well as they could play based on the talent level that they had.
Hell, 8 wins is great for Indiana and Penn State.
That's unbelievable, Patrick.
It really
right?
Is. Yeah, think I mean about that. You know, Penix Jr., the kid, remember, he was looking over his shoulder last year. He's going to be the starter this year. Penix Jr., who's a really good get for an Indiana program at quarterback. And Allen's doing a hell of a job there, Michael.
Allen has been doing a hell of a job there. I mean, he really has his whole time he's been there, you know, and he's going to have to replace the offensive coordinator. Well, obviously he's replaced him, but that offense was really well coached last year. You know, I forget this last name. Kalen was his first name, the offensive coordinator, who was really impressive. He became the head coach of Fresno State. I thought was a really good hire by Fresno State because he had been a very successful college coach at Sioux Falls. He won national championships there. Now he's at Fresno State. So, you know, I think they're going to miss that a little bit. But like you said, I think this is really going to come down to how much talent around him does he have. They have a bunch of sophomores and juniors. We'll see how good Indiana is offensively, Patrick.
Yeah, the standout running back, Stevie Scott, comes back there for Indiana and Penix Jr. I think it's going to be a pretty good team. Now, the question as far as Penn State and Franklin's concerned, now, they returned 4 starting offensive linemen from a unit that boasted the 5th lowest running back stuff rate in college, so that's pretty damn good. Now, Clifford is the story. I'm glad you mentioned him, the quarterback. Will he take that next step? 23 touchdowns, 7 picks last year, but he's losing KJ Hamler and a couple of players. Now the stud tight end still there. Dotson is the only wide receiver returning. But again, this is Micah Parsons is the best defender in college football, and he opted out, the linebacker there at Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and so obviously, you know, that's a void. But Penn State isn't called linebacker U because they don't have somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they always have good talent, and they've taken their recruiting base, Patrick, from just what, you know, because of Western Pennsylvania used to be their hotbed. But Western Pennsylvania, because of what's happened in the economy, people have moved. They've been to Florida quite a bit. And I think the uniforms are somewhat deceiving. I think you see those black shoes, the white pants. You don't realize how fast Penn State is as a football team all over the place. And they kind of lure you into sleep with that. And I mean, their talent level is really good. And I think James Franklin's tribute, you can attribute that to his ability to recruit.
Hey, good point. and that'll go back. That'll parlay us back to KJ Hamler. KJ Hamler is going to play tomorrow for Denver as well. I'm thinking of fast players from Penn State, and Hamler is going to be in the mix. It looks like he's going to be returning from injury as well. That's a 2-3 Bronco team. Quickly, Penn State, the total's gone under in Penn State's last six road games, and I have seen this creep up a little bit here. You know, that's a big Big Ten total, isn't it? I'm looking at it right now.
It is. I mean, I'm surprised. I marvel at the handicappers to be able to come to get these numbers, and because they can't, that we've seen nothing. Like, we've seen nothing of these teams. It's so hard. Unless I feel really like, that's what I marvel at. Really, the Prevalone, Mr. Applebaum, he just bases everything on numbers and movement, and I have a hard time not seeing it visually with myself to say I'm all in.
100%. That open 57.5, 61.5. Penn State, Indiana. It's a big total with exciting college and pro football action every week. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering. Go in-game special, in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Make sure you bring your state-issued ID, and you can bet anywhere across town, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM. State-of-the-art technology, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of the best games. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. You got to be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. You got a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Just getting started on a Saturday edition. It's week 8 in college football. We're coming back with more Big Ten action right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. Simple, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. And a good morning. How about that? A great morning to you. It's week 8 college football. The Big Ten is back. We welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi there in Atlantic City at the Borgata. I see you're a little, is it getting cool there? I see you got the long sleeves on. What's going on there?
Oh no, Patrick, it's unbelievable. We've had incredible weather. I mean, this is like, seriously, it's like summer all over again. And it's, you know, the cool nights. It's like you're living in the Napa Valley here. You got this nice warm days, cool nights. I mean, it's pretty good. It's been a great fall so far. And again, the Borgata is an incredible venue to come to. The sports book is great. The pool's amazing. It's heated. So, you know, why not? If not now, when?
If not now, when is a tremendous quote. Michigan, Minnesota, let's jump right back into it. Michigan, Minnesota. Minnesota open 1.5. Michigan's laying 3.5 on the road here. Wow. So here's the deal. Joe Milton is the quarterback the fan base has been calling for. Remember, McCaffrey is transferred, so it opens it up for Joe Milton. Hasn't started a game since high school, but there's a lot of buzz about this redshirt sophomore there at Michigan, Michael. This is year 6 for Harbaugh at Michigan. And you know what? Things have gotten eerily quiet around the program is the best way to put it. It's quieting down, which is odd.
Yeah. You know, and I think when you break down, you know, when obviously when you watch his teams, you know, the quarterback has been his Achilles heel. He hasn't been able to get that where Ryan Day at Ohio State has been able to do that. And they've been able to get that fixed. And like you said, is Milton the guy that can do that for this team? They've got players and talent all over the place. Cornelius Johnson, the receiver, the running back, Charbonnet.
That's close enough.
Number 24, I know that he's a good player from watching him. So I think that, you know, this is really comes down to it. And we know Don Brown does a great job defensively. So it's really going to come down to, can they get production out of the quarterback? And he's taken on a Minnesota team that's really well coached, but they've had some defections in terms of this offseason. So where are they after they had their great run last year?
Hunter, you just nailed it. So the Wolverines, they're replacing Nico Collins, of course, who opted out. Plus they're replacing Ford. There's four new starters on that offensive front. So again, whether Josh Gattis and of course Milton start to mesh early on is going to be the question. The question at Michigan during his tenure, Harbaugh's tenure, has been that offense and meshing. Don Brown's done a great job. The defense is loaded. That's not going to be an issue for Michigan this year. When it comes to Minnesota, there's two guys that you point to, right? Tanner Morgan and Rashad Bateman. Rashad Bateman's probably the second best wide receiver. He's going to be drafted in the spring behind most likely Ja'Marr Chase. And those two are studs. That was an 11-2 team last year.
Yeah, and I mean, Bateman initially said he was not playing and came back to play, you know, and then I think when you break down this team, I think what do you have to look for if you have a really good quarterback and you have a good receiver? Their offensive line, and their offensive line is filled with juniors and seniors, which is important. You know, that's really what you need. You need to have a veteran offensive line, and I think it's going to come down to the skill level. I mean, last year, Winfield was a really good player for Minnesota, obviously playing well for Tampa Bay. They have some defensive players that have played in the National Football League. How well they play here, you know, in terms of where they are, they're the players that they've asked to come back in there, and they've got a ton of juniors and seniors. So PJ has done a great job of recruiting. This is what I was talking about with Scott Frost out of Nebraska. I mean, at some point after you've recruited a certain period of time, there's an inventory of good players. Minnesota has that. I don't see that at Nebraska. Maybe we will today.
I'm a little dubious with laying the hook there with Michigan on the road, Michael. That's up to 3.5. You know, this is a Michigan team that hasn't really done well as far as their 3-7 ATS, their last 10 games on the road. And again, this is a Golden Gophers. There's continuity on offense. Should give them an advantage over a Michigan team that's still trying to gel offensively, figure out who they are. Nico Collins is a big miss. We mentioned the new starters up front. And Joe Milton getting his first start as a college quarterback.
Yeah, and look, it's going to be 30 degrees in Minneapolis, right? I mean, and that hook's important because these field goals are hard to kick. You know, when it's really cold like that, it's hard to kick a football. It's like trying to kick a cinder block. You know, it's hard. It hurts your foot. It's hard. And so when that hook is there, you know, these tend to play under. These numbers in cold weather typically comes down because, you know, here we are at the end of October. It's 70 degrees here in New Jersey. It's going to be 30 when they kick this ball off.
Michigan just 3-7. As I mentioned, ATS, their last 10 games on the road. PJ Flex doing a good job there with that program. They're 13-2 straight up their last 15, that being the Golden Gophers. We continue. You know what? Let's come back to a little NFL, as you mentioned, some line movement in the NFL. We'll come back with that. Plus, Josh Applebaum's going to join Mr. Market Insights as we continue along. Then at the top of the hour, about 29 minutes, Mike Palm for Mayor in studio. We continue. It is the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mentioned part two of the college football betting guide. The only way to get it is to get the package, and the package right now is only $129. I'm telling y'all right now, you're gonna make this up. It's funny. I was texting with a friend. I said, "How much did you lose last week?" And it was a number much more than 129. And I said, "Why don't you just invest? Everybody's making cash. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe." So what you're gonna get, Steve Mackinnon has done an amazing job on college football in part two of the college football betting guide, going through, of course, Mountain West, Big Ten, the MAC. Trust me, you need this. You also get our weekly digital betting guides, 24/7 live video stream. And for me, the most important thing for just a casual bettor or a sophisticated bettor would be the free bets every day that pop up in your email inbox from guests and hosts. So again, it's vsin.com/subscribe. Now, we're going to bring Josh in a second. Before we do, first off, good morning. Welcome back. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick. He's Michael Lombardi, M. Lombardi NFL on Twitter. Before we get to Josh, I just wanted to mention a couple of things. One, as far as line movement in the NFL, Michael, Buffalo got all the way up to 13. That number's dropped to 10 with the Jets here because Darnold is returning. So that's pretty major line movement. We just want to make sure we get out in front of it for the bettors here.
Yeah, I think this is really an important Saturday and Sunday are important days for the NFL because I think you're going to start to see, you know, what actually is transpiring. The line that's fascinating to me, Patrick, and Thomas Gable and Brian Hamilton and I were discussing it before the show, is the Green Bay-Houston line. That line hasn't moved an inch. It's been 3.5 all week. All the money has come in on Green Bay. You would think that line would move towards them. It hasn't. It stayed there the whole time. We have a reason for why the Bills-Jets line moved, right? We have that. We understand why the Washington-Dallas line is moving towards Washington, because no one thinks, due to Mike Palm's ability to campaign against Dallas, no one thinks Dallas is any good, which he's right. Okay, so that line moved there. We can explain the line move. Same thing with New England-San Francisco. People are concerned about New England. They looked horrible. The line's moving away from them. But the key one is this Green Bay Houston. It feels like a trap. And I'm going to, and as much as I want to say take Green Bay, because my numbers say they should be at least a 6-point favorite, that line is not moving there. The money has come in to make Green Bay that kind of a 6-point favorite, yet it's not showing, yet they're not moving that line, which, as Josh Applebaum and his fellow Sharp say with the cheese, something's fishy here, Patrick.
Yep, a line freeze. We'll get Josh's reaction in just a second here. You mentioned Dallas. That's a pick 'em right now in Washington against the football team. Yeah, that makes sense. As you mentioned, Mike's been down on this team. He's been 100% sharp on it. They've got practice squatters playing on the offensive front for the Cowboys, so that makes a ton of sense. Against, remember, that Washington defensive front got off in week one because of the same scenario for the Eagles with the decimated offensive line. Quickly on the Kansas City move. Kansas City moved from a 9.5-point favorite to 8, hosting Denver, because Bouye is going to be back, Fant's going to be back, Hamler's going to be back, and again, it's going to be 20 degrees in snow there.
Yeah, I think this is really weather related. I really do. I think this is weather related. And I wanted to take the Chiefs, you know, because I had it. The Chiefs should be a 10-point favorite in the game, and the line's at 9.5, and it's moving in the other direction. But, you know, weather pauses me on this one, and I think you've got to be really concerned. Not that they don't function well in weather. I mean, the Chiefs catch the ball, and they move, and they operate, and their speed and the field will be clean enough where they can go. It's just that it's hard to figure out how much offense is really going to play, how it's going to come through, and how they play on defense. Because, you know, defense has a liability when the field's muddy and slow. The offense knows where it's going. The defense doesn't. And I think Denver can move the football on Kansas City.
Do you have your slicer ready for the first time today, Michael?
I'm ready to go on the college tease. Yeah, I'm going to follow it. Look, you know, we talked about yesterday before we bring on my man Lafayette. You know, that number was moving to them. That proved to be right. I like Lafayette. I love Billy Napier. I'm really concerned about the quarterback. It came through last night. So we're off to a good week.
Well, he's trolling me already. He's mentioning that my cocks are sharp again, that being the South Carolina Gamecocks. They are at LSU, 6.5 down to 5. We bring in Market Insights. You can find the podcast, VSiN.com/podcast. It's free. It's one easy click. You can check out Gil Alexander's podcast there as well. Freshly shaven, of course, is Josh Applebaum. How you doing, buddy? Good morning.
Patrick, Michael, doing great. Yeah, another big Saturday here. And I think one thing to think about today, keep in the back of your head as we break down all these games, because we have a ton of sharp moves to talk about. But the board is different today. You know, with these new conferences coming back that were kind of delayed to start the season, we have now about 45 games to choose from today, Patrick. So typically, you know, up until now, we've had about 30 games to choose from. So I think, you know, if you're a bettor, what you want to do is be a little more selective. Don't be, you know, overloaded, inundated, thinking you have to bet on every single one of these games. Use it to your advantage. Focus on the big matchups. Focus on the really clear line moves. So the first one I wanted to mention to you guys, Iowa State, Oklahoma State. Really a Big 12 matchup here. Two really good teams. You saw Iowa State. They've really bounced back. They lost week one to Louisiana. They've won 3 straight. They just beat Texas Tech 31-15. Covered as a 10-point favorite in that one. Then Oklahoma State, they're great. They're undefeated. They're 3-0. They just waxed Kansas 47-7, easily covered minus 21.5 there. But guys, what I'm seeing for this game here is it's one of the most heavily bet games of the day. It's a 3:30, you know, perfect afternoon time slot to get a ton of public action. And really, the public doesn't know where to go here. It's 50-50 bets. You know, they see 2 ranked teams. They kind of like the lower ranked, or whichever way you want to look at it, the higher rank, the number 6 Oklahoma State. And we've actually seen this number move a little bit toward Iowa State. Now on the board here, we're showing 3.5, but a lot of these books are actually now down to 3 right now, Patrick and Michael. So it opened 3.5. The line's down to 3. This would match a really good system I look at where you have a short road conference dog plus 4 or less. They tend to cover at about a 54% clip about the last decade. You've also seen smart money on this under. It's 54 down to 52. But Michael Lombardi, what's your take on this game? Do you think the Cyclones can keep it close? Do you like that line move toward Iowa State here?
You know, it's interesting, Josh, when you break the game down, I mean, Oklahoma State is really good defensively. I mean, are really good. They're only giving up 9 points a game. I mean, nobody, I mean, you could put that question on Jeopardy and nobody's going to get that answer, because whoever thinks that Oklahoma State plays good defense, it's just, it's not. I mean, they're averaging, I mean, it takes 30.5 yards for them to give up a point. And conversely, when you look at Iowa State, they're at 13.23 yards. Look, I like Iowa State, but I only like Iowa State at home. I like when they can get that field nice and wet, slow the grass down, Purdy, their offense, their defense, play Tampa, make you work it down. This is uncharted territory for me to see Oklahoma State playing this good of run defense and this good of overall defense. That's why I'm surprised the line's moving towards Iowa State.
The under is 6-1 the last seven for Oklahoma State. That's such a great point, because a lot of times you're betting based on perception when it comes to college football. Josh always mentions, you see the number next to these two teams' names, you're going to bet perceptively based on the rankings and also just reputation. When you think Oklahoma State, you think wide out, high spread, high scoring offense with Gundy, but Knowles has done a great job with that defense, and the defense has been tremendous here. Good job by Michael Lombardi as far as perception. We're going to come back with, of course, Josh Applebaum and continue with line movement. Week 8 college football right here, Lombardi Line. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Something just a little bit more at BetMGM Sports. New customers, so tonight place a $1 bet, Khabib over Gaethje, and if he wins, you win $100. Use the promo code VSIN100. This is simple. He's going to be a big favorite here, Khabib. Take advantage of this special offer. If you're ready for showtime, then you're ready for BetMGM. It's the king of sports books. Download the BetMGM app today. VSIN 100 to win $100 when you bet $1 Khabib to win the fight against Gaethje, okay? Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 25 years or older. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, West Virginia. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, want some help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Marquee Sports Network, good morning. We say hi to Ness and we say hi to all of you. Week 8 college football. It is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Josh is here, and we're going to continue, Michael, with some line movement in college football. Let's jump to Rutgers MSU. So two teams, Big Ten, new coaches. We'll start with you. You're laughing already. I see it. Shiano's back. Ash went like 8-52 there, his tenure at the state school.
You can't, you know, Baghdad, what's our duffel boy, duffel bag, he can't bet Rutgers anymore. I don't know where he is. I got to ask Thomas today about where the hell he went.
To be fair, I should be fair to Ash. 8-32 as the head coach there at Rutgers. And Shiano, let's be fair, he had some success there his first time around. And Mel Tucker in, D'Antonio out after years at Michigan State, Michael.
I mean, it's going to take some time for Greg to get the kind of players to compete at the highest level at the Big Ten, but we know they'll be well coached. They're going to run an offense that is similar to what Auburn wants to run, but with a passing game. So they want to try to run, you know, have a balanced attack where they can do some of the unbalanced stuff that Gus Malzahn did that kind of makes it hard to defend, but also have a passing game, something that Auburn doesn't have, regardless of who the quarterback is. So I think they'll be well coached. I think Mel Tucker walks into a situation where, you know, they've always done a good job recruiting well up at Michigan State. He kind of comes in. Where he goes offensively, that's going to be the key, because that's something that last year they couldn't get squared away. They turned the ball over way too much, put a lot of pressure on their defense.
100%. Both teams struggled to score last year and move the ball. No spring camp, so I think you're going to see a sloppy performance from both Rutgers and Michigan State as the new coaches kind of get their systems going. 44.5 as far as the total, Josh. Let's set this number up.
Yeah, this one is crazy. Pros are really, really liking Rutgers today, and they're not letting up on Rutgers because we've seen constant, steady line movement to Rutgers pretty much since the opener here. Patrick, you mentioned two new coaches, Shiano in his second, second time around with Rutgers here. You do have Mel Tucker, taking over for D'Antoni. But what we've seen is this line opened with Michigan State listed as about a 13-point favorite, even 13.5, and tickets are kind of leaning Michigan State, which is crazy name recognition. You don't really think of Rutgers as a powerhouse type team, but that has not worried the sharps. This line is all the way down to 10. I've seen, across the market, still hitting the 10.5 got hit recently. So a lot of times with these line moves, you think it's going to fall and then sharps lay off, maybe go the other way by low, but it's been constant to Rutgers from the start. And I think what you like about Rutgers in this spot is they're contrarian, they're a road conference dog, line move in their favor. But really, it's the combination of a double-digit dog with a really low total here, because the total opened 46. It's down to 44.5. You've had a little under money here come in. But also, when you're on a dog, especially a double-digit dog, a low total is good because the fewer amount of expected points scored makes it harder for that double-digit favorite to cover the number. So, Michael Lombardi, why do you think pros are really, really, really leaning Rutgers here? Is it the return of Shiano? Is it a matchup type thing? Why is all this money coming in Scarlet Knights?
I think it's got to be the return of the coach. I think they'll know they'll be much better coached offensively, defensively, plus the scheme defensively will help them. And Michigan State's never been a great offensive team. I mean, they've had great offensive players, but they've never been one of those high-octane teams. So I think that's why it's reflective in the over-under totals, the total being so low there. And you've got to believe that Rutgers, they've got a bunch of transfers on their team that have come in, that they're going to be able to operate, at least function much better than they did with Chris Ash, who really didn't want to be a head coach, in all fairness to Chris Ash. He's content being the defensive coordinator somewhere. And I think this gives Rutgers program some life.
Yeah, and offense as well. Michigan State returns their top two rushers. That's why I like this under. I think ball control would be the theme for both teams coming in. And of the three quarterbacks for Rutgers, Michael, who took snaps last year, it was Langan and I think Sikowski. Those two return. They return a rusher on offense. That you mentioned the transfers that Shiano has locked down. I think offensively, Rutgers is going to be fine. Michigan State depleted defensively. They lost six starters off that offensive line, off that offensive unit from last year. Again, I think 10 is way too much to lay, and Michigan State laying doubles. Let's see. The last 11 games, Michigan State has laid doubles. They're 2-9 ATS with three outright losses. So not good, Josh Applebaum. We move from East Lansing. Let's go to the Bayou and LSU hosting South Carolina.
Yeah, Patrick, this is becoming a weekly thing. Your alma mater, the Gamecocks, just sharp every week. You wake up and they got some good line movement in their favor.
Careful, Josh.
Yeah, I know. We're gonna jinx them today, probably. But what we're seeing here is obviously, two SEC teams that you're used to being ranked or at least highly ranked. Neither of them are ranked this year. You've seen a big discrepancy in terms of perception, though. South Carolina, your alma mater, Patrick, they started 0-2. They've won two straight, had a really impressive win last week beating Auburn straight up 30-22. We were on them as a dog there on +3. Gamecocks are now 3-0-1 ATS covering the number this year. And then LSU has just been a really big disappointment. They had, COVID concerns throughout the year. They've had a lot of guys go to the NFL. It's been hard to kind of replace all these musical chairs here. And LSU had a really disappointing last week. They fell to Mizzou 45-41. They're a 14-point favorite there. So the funny thing is usually, a team like that off a bad loss, I like to kind of buy low on them the next week. But this is a situation where I think pros are really not outthinking it. They're looking at South Carolina getting the points. This line opened at LSU -6.5. You've seen a steady stream of South Carolina money show up. The line is now all the way down to 5, a full point and a half move in college football. That's very notable. That's caused by smart money. They're also a road conference dog spot there. But Michael Lombardi, what's your take? Can South Carolina continue to cover numbers for our guy, Patrick Maher?
And can I jump in quickly, Michael, real quick? I apologize, but remember this LSU offense, which has been prolific, 467 as far as yards per and over 38 scored. Miles Brennan's out. So they're going to be starting the true freshman. And that's a huge deal as far as this line movement. Go ahead, Michael.
You know, I mean, look, South Carolina hasn't disappointed. They're 3-0-1 against the spread. I mean, and they finally, offensively, they can score points. And against an LSU defense, yep. which I think if Bo Pelini doesn't have a good day today, there's going to be a lot of people wanting to come get his job. I mean, he's got a, you know, Big Ed said they're going to tailor it down. They're going to water down the defense. We'll see how that goes. You know, once the game starts, my man, that's it for my man. Everything's in the hands of the coordinator. So, you know, I think what I got to give Muschamp credit. He finally has fixed the offense. I mean, I wish he would have done it last year when he had more skill, but they are good. I mean, South Carolina is a good football team. They're better than Mississippi State. They're better than the teams that are better than Missouri. And, you know, I think that's why the bettors see them as a real, real viable option. I mean, you look at it, LSU is struggling defensively mightily. And I think that's the biggest concern.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the assistants because Mike Bobo, who you know, has done a great job in his first year there in Columbia as the South Carolina offensive game caller. And again, they're good. You know, Kevin Harris, the receiver, Shai Smith, and Hill's done a good job at quarterback. But the big story here, Michael, again, Miles Brennan is going to be out. He was doing a really good job in place of course, Joe Burrow. You're never going to live up to the Burrow expectations, but he had started to pop, so they're going to start the true frosh here.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, where does this go? I mean, Brennan obviously won the job, but one thing about LSU, you know, and I heard Rohan Davey talk about this week. I mean, they've got players there. This kid comes in there, gives them a little bit of life with their offense. You may not see Miles Brennan again.
Nope, 100%. All right, let's keep it going. Got some time here, Josh. West Virginia, Texas Tech, line movement. Let's go.
Yeah, this is really interesting, Patrick. This is probably one of your top buy low, sell high, looks too good to be true, probably is type play of the day because you look at West Virginia, they've won two straight, they're 3-1. Texas Tech is 1-3, they've lost three straight. So automatically the public is saying, give me WVU, lay the number. They're playing great. Texas Tech is playing awful. But really what we've seen here is this line open West Virginia listed as a 3-point favorite on the road. And even though you have heavy, heavy betting from the public laying the number with West Virginia, the line stayed the same. It's even fallen to 2.5 at some shops. So the fact that you're seeing the situation where this line isn't going West Virginia -3 to -4, it's not moving that way. It's staying the same or falling. Tells me liability is Texas Tech here. You also have a rest advantage. Texas Tech last played on the 10th of October. Obviously, West Virginia played last week. There's also a windy, my weatherman, Patrick Maher, windy under 15 miles an hour, 57 down to 54. Mike Lombardi, is this just don't overthink it, take WVU, lay the points, or is there something going on with the Red Raiders here?
It's called Lubbock. It's called Lubbock, Texas, right? There's always something strange happens out at Lubbock, Texas. And I'm not sure you can predict, you know, I don't know why that is. But when these games, these Big 12 games, I think you almost have to throw the numbers out. You know, when you look at Texas Tech defense and you look at their offense and you compare the numbers of the two, they're really kind of similar. They really are. I mean, they really are similar in what they are, what they do. So to me, I think that's why the line is what it is. And I think playing there is always a challenge. I think it's really a hard place to play. Wind, the factor, it used to be the fans. Now, obviously, there won't be that many fans in the stands. But I think this is all about these two venues, Lubbock and West Virginia. They're Morgantown. They're really hard places to play, and sometimes you get caught up in the handicapping and you forget about it.
The Mountaineers, baby. This Texas Tech defense has been awful. How do you want to move the ball? Pick anyway. West Virginia can. The ground game's been pretty damn good. I think they're going to control the clock. You know, Texas Tech desperately in need, as you mentioned, with a home win. But even that front of West Virginia kind of popping a little bit. I like them in this game, laying 3 on the road. Because
I like Neil Brown as a coach, yeah. Patrick. I really do. I think Neil Brown's a good coach, so I don't doubt that whatsoever.
But just a terrible Tech defense. Okay, Josh, great job. Josh will be back in the next hour as well. Market Insights is the podcast. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. We'll continue, of course, a robust college football Saturday week 8 with the Big Ten back 7 games in conference for them and their 8-game season. Mike Palm is going to join us. Get ready as Mike Palm and Mayor Mike Palm joins us next here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. You missed anything? Go to vsin.com. We're coming back.